Part 26, Chapter 6. The other matter turned out to be a haircut. The daughter came in and sat him in a chair facing the view screens and got to work with a small pair of scissors and a comb. The idea was rather novel to Johnny. He usually just hacked his hair off with a knife when it got too long. She seemed to be very practiced and expert, and no doubt took care of the tonsorial requirements of many, for she just sailed in with her scissors moving so fast they sounded like an oar belt running at high speed, clip, clip, clip. So, diplomacy was like a battle, Johnny was thinking. Watching these lords arrive, one could see that they practically oozed with authority and power. The visitors attacking Earth were almost local small fry, controlling at the most a few dozen planets. Some of those arriving, he knew from earlier readings, were from other universes and controlled hundreds of planets in just one governmental sphere. And they were very arrogant, very sure of themselves. Whatever their physical form, there was no doubt that they were ministers plenipotentiary to powerful heads of state. What wealth and striking power they represented! Behind them were collective populations numbering trillions in just one state alone. They were the veterans and victors of hundreds of such conferences. Yes, a conference was a battle, and an even more important one than a war. And what chance did he and Sir Robert have against these experienced diplomats? They were both warriors, not glib, smooth, cunning courtiers with 1,000 parliamentary tricks up their sleeves. With no guns or battalions, but with only his wits and the tips Mr. Tsung had given him, he felt quite outnumbered. And so far, he had no strategy at all. The girl had a small mirror she was holding up so he could see. She had cut his hair to collar height in back and combed and rolled it at the bottom. It looked kind of like a helmet he had seen with a back neck guard. And the hair was shiny. His beard and mustache looked very precise, much shorter. He hardly knew himself. Had she seen some old paintings of men with beards and mustaches cut like this? Indeed she had. There was an ancient man book, English, open on the bed to a picture of somebody named Sir Francis Drake that had defeated somebody called the Spaniards long, long ago. His attention was attracted by something, and he took the mirror from her. His neck. The scars had been quite faint, for they were really calluses, and they were gone. He had to look very hard to see the remains of the Briganti grenade scar on his cheek. That would probably vanish too. Somehow, he felt freed with the collar scars gone. He understood the irony of it, and would have smiled, but his attention was pulled to the ops room screen. The sound relay had been off, and he gave the girl back the mirror and hit the button.
"Can't think what they're up to,"
Stormalong was saying as he angrily finished pulling another picture out of the drone resolver.
"I've lost count."
15,
said somebody else.
"Look at this! A spray of firebombs going down into this deserted..."
He looked at a map.
"Detroit! Why set Detroit on fire? There's been nobody in Detroit for over 1,000 years! Are they trying to pull defenses over to that continent? They're insane!"
He threw the picture down.
"I'm not providing any air cover for a bunch of ruins! What's the latest from Edinburgh?"
"Anti-aircraft still replying,"
said someone at the ops board.
"Smoke interfering with visual firing. Dunedin just shot down his 16th Arvin strafing plane."